Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutane Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desacharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For a weekday celebration, this is very nice attendance here at the temple. It's not Krishna Janmashtami or Ram Nomi, but it's a very wonderful festival day, perhaps in all of the festivals of the year, at least from my experience over the many years of taking part in festivals. Ram Nomi Govardhan Puja is a very special event. Although it's not outside of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, so much appreciated, as it is within Gaudiya Vaishnavism. What makes Govardhan Puja such a special festival day? Have you thought about that? Govardhan Puja. This nice painting on the wall over here indicates why. In one sense, Krishna is displaying his divinity. He is Bhagavan. Prabhupada once said, when Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavad Gita section of Mahabharata, he didn't say Sri Krishna Uvacha. He said, or wrote, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Where? And he said there's two reasons. One, in this world there are many Krishnas. This Krishna that. So maybe it's another one of the many Krishnas. But this is Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And Bhagavan indicates, just as Parashara Muni says in the Vishnu Purana, that Bhagavan indicates one who possesses in full all transcendental opulences. And just a small boy, 7 years old, Krishna is indicating, he's displaying his unlimited strength. Who is there that can... Hanuman can lift a mountain, but Krishna is lifting the mountain with his left hand and the little finger of his left hand when he's only 7 years old and holding it up for 7 days and 7 nights. You know any children to do anything for a few minutes? What to speak of a whole day? Day and night for 7 days and seven nights, no eating, no drinking, no sleeping, and all the other things that you do with your body. We won't mention them. He's exhibiting his opulences. But Krishna exhibited his opulences when he even when he was just a small, little, newborn child. Just a few days old, he killed a powerful witch, Putana. Even before he could barely do anything. Powerful. This Putana is described in the commentary by our acharyas. She had many mystic powers. She was a kechuri. She could take a stick from a tree, a branch from a tree, and fly in the air. Zoom, zoom. Harry Potter. Fly in the air. She could change her shape. Although her regular feature was very ugly, she could make herself look so beautiful that those of you that are mothers, think about this. Putana was so beautiful that she walked right into Mother DeSoto's house, into the inner chamber where the baby was resting, and Mother DeSoto watched her do that and picked up the child, a newborn child, a complete stranger. Who's going to do that? What mother is going to do that? Excuse me, who are you? At least, I'm, you know, calling the police. Get out of here. But she was so beautiful that Mother DeSoto accepted her that way. And Krishna accepted her that way. When she saw Krishna, few days old, we've all seen little child, just a few days old, so delicate, fragile. She thought, such a beautiful child. And then she thought the other thought, I'm going to kill him. And Krishna just smiled. He knew exactly, because he's not a little helpless, barely conscious, hardly at all rational little infant. He's the personality of Godhead. He knew exactly what Putana's intention was, and he just smiled. Vyasadeva describes seeing Krishna in that condition. It was like a sword inside a sheath that what covers the sharp part of the sword. It was death in the form of a little child. And when Putana picked up Krishna and offered her breast, because her plan was to kill him with the poison that was on her breast, Krishna accepted and sucked her breast, and at the same time sucked her life out of her body through her breast. And as she was feeling her life air leaving her body, she cried out loud, let go, because Krishna's little baby fingers was holding on very tightly. She was so powerful, but she couldn't get Krishna off her body. She began screaming, and Krishna held tighter. And her body, the beautiful, mystically beautiful form, started transforming into the witch-like form. And she ran out of the house with Krishna hanging onto her body, screaming, let go of me. And Krishna kept drawing the life air from her body, and she expired. When she died, her body was knocking over trees in 10 miles direction. Huge body. Little baby. So Krishna exhibited his power, transcendental power, way before 7 years of age. So the Govardhan Puja Leela is very, very special for another reason, besides Krishna showing his position as Bhagavan. Krishna was showing to the devotees in Vrindavan, who he knew wanted to associate with him without interruption, But their association was always broken because Krishna would be with the cowherd boys during the day and the cows during the day. But when Krishna would come back to Nandagram, all the residents of Vrindavan that lived in the village were waiting. Maybe some of you have read Brihat Bhagavatamrita. For those of you that haven't, I'll describe. It's a narration about a young cowherd boy named Gopal Kumar who wants to realize the object of his Madan Gopal mantra. Madan Gopal is another name for Madan Mohan. The book was written by Sanatan Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami was a worshipper of Madan Mohan in Vrindavan. But another name of Madan Mohan is Madan Gopal, and Gopal Kumar was chanting the Madan Gopal mantra. But he wasn't just half chanting. He was intently, devotedly chanting with a desire to be with and intimately serve face to face, in person, Madan Gopal. So, this many pages later, he finally is transported to a place he doesn't even know where it is. He goes through all of the planetary systems. He passes through the coverings of the universe, and that's a fascinating description, what makes up the coverings of the universe. And then he enters the spiritual sky that's blinding bright with light. And he ends up in a place where he doesn't even know where he is. And he's walking around in that place. And he wants to know where he is. So he sees people and he asks them, "Excuse me, I don't know if you speak the same language that I speak, but can you tell me where are we? And who's in charge here?" And you know what they said in reply? Nothing. Then they didn't make a sound. They hardly even acknowledged his presence. And he started thinking, these people are very rude. They don't even say anything. So he goes to the next person, next person, and next person. Finally, one old lady is kind enough to say, "This is Goloka." And the person in charge, he's gone right now. He's gone to the forest. That's why nobody will speak with you, because they're feeling such pain of separation. They can't even speak. There's nothing in their mind but one thing: feelings of great separation from Krishna. And she became choked up. And then she moved her arm and said, "You see, all the people of this village, they're moving very quickly. Some are even running in that direction. You see? Because Krishna is soon going to come back from herding the cows." And she started moving swiftly in that direction too. So Gopal Kumar went in that direction. Gopal Kumar saw that the speed of the residents of Gokula were moving faster and faster. And so he started moving faster and faster. And he saw in the distance some dust that was being raised. He didn't know what it was. Raised by the hooves of the cows as they were coming from the forest heading for Vrindavan. So he understood, Madan Gopal is coming. He's so joyful in anticipation of meeting And then he heard. The cowherd boys were blowing their buffalo horns. And the sound of Krishna's flute was mixed with the sound of the buffalo horns. And his mind was shattered in pieces. And he went running with his arms outstretched, calling, Madan Gopal! Madan Gopal! Madan Gopal! And Krishna saw Gopukumar. And Krishna started running with his arms outstretched. Gopukumar! Gopukumar! And as Krishna and Madan Gopal, as Krishna and Gopukumar came together, they embraced one another and Krishna fell to the ground unconscious. Krishna fell to the ground unconscious. Balaram was right behind him. And Balaram looked at Madan, looked at Gopukumar and chastised, look what you've done. You've caused Krishna to become unconscious. What are we going to do with you? Gopukumar didn't know what to do. He paid his obeisances and got up and paid his obeisances and got up and paid his obeisances and got up. Finally, Krishna came to external consciousness. And again, he embraced Gopukumar firmly to his chest and held him in front of him and said, at last you've come. I've been waiting so many lifetimes. I thought, surely he will come. But you didn't come. And then another lifetime. And I thought, surely he will come this lifetime. But you didn't come. So I sent messengers. I even came myself. Jana Sharma, who gave you your mantra, that was me. I came to give you your mantra. And at last you've come. Please, never go away. I'll never go away. I'll never go away. Krishna belongs in the spiritual realm. But sometimes he descends to this realm to perform wonderful pastimes to attract the hearts and the minds of his devotees. So when Krishna performs his pastimes, just like this, the residents of Vrindavan, the elders, the mothers and the fathers and the gopis, they're without Krishna. They're feeling great pain in separation from Krishna. But when Krishna puts the cows into the goshal, they don't want to leave Krishna either. They want to go with Krishna. So they're feeling great separation. Moo. Moo. All night long they can't sleep. Feeling separation from Krishna. And the gopis, just the glance of Krishna, seeing him emerge from the forest with the cows and the cowherd boys, with their eyes, Krishna enters their eyes and into their hearts and they embrace him within their hearts to their full satisfaction. But then he has to go with Mother Jasoda and take his bath and receive his evening meal. So the gopis are wishing Krishna's association. They're separated from him. And on like this, through the different parts of the day, sometimes the devotees of this category are with Krishna, and others are in separation from him. And then sometimes he's with these devotees in separation from those devotees. So there's always this meeting and separation. Meeting and separation. Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Devotion, the type of love in Vrindavan is that even when there's meeting, there's the feeling that soon there will be separation. That's not bad. That's wonderful. It intensifies the feelings of love. This is the science of rasa, that separation intensifies the feelings of love. There's this common saying in Western thought, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Have you heard that one before? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And in Vedic wisdom, this viraha bhav, the feelings of separation, intensify the feelings of love. But Krishna knows the hearts of his devotees, and so he arranges this Govardhan Leela in such a way that as he's lifting the hill for 7 days and seven nights, whoops, with his left hand, all the devotees can be with Krishna uninterrupted for 7 days and nights. And they have no interest in sleeping or eating, or the bodily necessities just are gone because their hearts are fully satisfied, uninterruptedly associating with Krishna. That's what makes Govardhan Puja such a very, very special event. Those of you that have read Nectar of Devotion, you know that there are 64 qualities of Krishna that Rupa Goswami has identified. Krishna's qualities are unlimited. But principal qualities taken from scripture are 64 in number. And one of those qualities of Krishna is he's expert. Daksha. And one of the features of his expertise is that whenever Krishna does one thing, he's simultaneously doing many things by doing one thing. It's not multitasking. Like, you know, we're supposed to be chanting, so we're chanting. But we're also doing something else, whatever those something else's are. We're planning our day, or we're reading an article, or we're something, hankering and lamenting, planning the future, or worrying about the past. So one of the many things that Krishna was doing in the course of this pastime, actually what precipitates the pastime, is Krishna's love for the demigods. Now there's a distinction between the residents of Vrindavan and the demigods. What's similar is they're both, in both categories, they're devotees. But the dissimilarity is the demigods have material desire. Not awful, awful material desire, but material desire. And the residents in Vrindavan have no material desire. They have only one desire. The desire to please Krishna. The only one desire. Kevala bhakti. Absolute. Anya vilashita shunyam. They don't have any other desire but to please Krishna. The demigods have other desires. And amongst them, one who from time to time shows his other desires is Indra. And one thing that Krishna consistently shows in his pastimes and presents in his teachings is that Krishna doesn't like that in the heart of his devotee is situated pride. Krishna doesn't like. You can't offer pride to Krishna. He won't accept it. You can try, but he won't accept it. Rather, Krishna wants us to give up our pride. And if we don't give up our pride, Krishna may, if we're very fortunate, Krishna may smash our pride and that way remove it. And that's what Krishna did with Indra. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there are three gates to hell. And although someone may be in a very elevated position, if one possesses one of these three qualities that are gates to hell, commonly it's mentioned six: kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarja. In Bhagavad Gita, he reduces the number to three, but it's the same principle. If one has, however elevated one may be, if there's pride in the heart, it will take you down. Prabhupada would quote the British author, whoever it was, that said, "Pride goeth before the fall." You've heard that phrase before? Pride goeth before the fall. So, however elevated one may reach, whatever position one may reach, if there's pride in the heart, that can take one down completely to a hellish condition. And that's what happened with Indra. But the end result was the pride of Indra was removed. So Krishna orchestrated the removal of Indra's pride side by side with making this arrangement so that he could associate with all of his devotees uninterruptedly. That's really what Krishna wanted, to associate with his devotees lovingly, uninterruptedly. So he just created the circumstance for that. But the circumstance also was take away the pride of Indra. So I'll very quickly describe how he did that. Krishna was with the cowherd boys going along the side of Govardhan Hill as he would do every day. And he saw that Nanda Maharaj had accumulated big, big stockpiles of articles intended for a yajna. So he asked his father, "What? I am your son. It's the duty of the father to instruct the son. So please disclose. What is the basis of the sacrifice? Is it by family tradition or is it under the authority of the Vedas?" There's a distinction. Some of the things that people do, some of the things that we do, is just family tradition. It doesn't mean ignore it, but it doesn't carry the same weight as injunction or code of the Vedas. And then Krishna indicated, if it's a code of the Vedas, then please tell me what's the purpose behind it. Because when you do something that's enjoined by the Vedas, but you don't understand the purpose behind it, you will not get the full benefit. You'll get something will happen, but you need to know the purpose behind it. So that's what he asked his father. And his father said, this is puja for Indra, because we're cowherds by profession, by occupation, and we depend upon rainfall. And because Indra supplies the rainfall, and he supplied very bountifully this season, we're obliged to offer to Indra this puja, this recognition of his kindness to assist us in our occupational work. Very interestingly, Krishna started speaking Mayavad philosophy. Yes. Karma Mimamsa philosophy, atheistic philosophy. Krishna said, so don't listen too carefully here. Krishna said, doesn't matter if you offer things to other people. Ultimately, everything rests upon karma. If you do good works, you get the fruit of good works. If there's a God, above God, there's the law of karma, and he's obliged to give you the fruit of your good works. And if there isn't God, just do good works. So do good works. Just do good works. And if there's anything that we have to be grateful for, it's Govardhan Hill. Because just see how Govardhan Hill is supplying all of our necessities. Nice grasses for the cows and water for the cows and minerals for all of our family necessities and so many nice things supplied by Govardhan Hill. Let's worship Govardhan Hill. Take all, my dear father, take all of these ingredients and make big feast. Make big anukut and offer everything to Govardhan Hill. And his father thought, he's a nice boy. We'll take half and do like that, and the other half we'll worship Indra. No, no, no. Everything should go to Govardhan Hill. All right. And so, instead, Indra was ready for his offering, and instead this little boy, 7-year-old boy, turned everybody and spun him around and had them do something else instead. So he became, because there was pride in his heart that Krishna knew and Krishna wanted to remove, he became very angry. And practically his spirit became hellish. His intention was to drown all the cows and all the residents of Vrindavan with torrential floods of rain like the devastation of the universe, because he has the capacity to do that. So that's what he did. He unleashed the Sambartaka cloud and the waters, instead of drops, coming down like columns. In the room, there's columns. I've been in South India during the downpours of monsoon rains. That was nothing compared to water of devastation. The whole of the Vrindavan became flooded. And they were in such anxiety. This is another feature. Not just they were blaming Krishna, not like that, but Krishna's their shelter. He's a little boy, 7-year-old boy. But in difficulty, they're attached to Krishna, so they just turn to Krishna. Krishna! What are we to do? Krishna smiled and said, no problem. I'll lift the hill of Govardhan and everyone can come and gather under the hill of Govardhan, protected from the rain. Now, while Govardhan Hill is quite large, and then it was even larger than it is today because Govardhan has been diminishing in size, Still, the whole of Vrindavan fitting under Govardhan Hill, our acharyas described, it was made possible because when Krishna touched the bottom of Govardhan Hill with his hand, Govardhan was feeling ecstasy. And so the hill expanded. And as the torrents, like columns of rain, were coming down and thunderbolts, striking Govardhan Hill, Govardhan didn't feel anything because he was in ecstasy having the hand of Krishna touch him. Even the trees didn't get knocked over in the winds and torrential rain because it was like, and they were also in ecstasy feeling the touch of Krishna's hand. Indra was completely foiled in his attempt. And not only that, because the waters were flooding when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, why the waters didn't rush underneath the hill of Govardhan and flood everyone? Because Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra to go around the hill of Govardhan so fast, generating such heat that all the water evaporated. And no water went under the hill of Govardhan. Maybe some of you who have been to Govardhan Hill, and in particular to Manasi Ganga, there's a place where after Krishna put the hill of Govardhan back down, when Indra surrendered, had given up his pride, Sudarshan Chakra rested because he was tired. Right by the side of Manasi Ganga. It's in that same place where there's a deity of Lord Shiva, Chakaleshwara Mahadev, where Sanatan Goswami would sit and chant his japa every day. Vrindavan is such a mystical place. He would sit and chant, but because it was right near Manasi Ganga, very sacred place, because it was right near Manasi Ganga, mosquitoes would come during certain season. And Sanatana Goswami was ignoring them, but at a certain point there became too many mosquitoes. So he just, within his mind, he just decided, I'm going to leave this place. It's too distracting, too many mosquitoes. So a mendicant came. It was Lord Shiva who came and said, I hear that you're going to leave. Please don't leave. Just stay. I'll see that the mosquitoes go away. I promise you. Lord Shiva made the promise to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami said, well, I'll stay for one more day. Let's see. If the mosquitoes go away, then I'll stay. And the mosquitoes didn't come back. And it is said, I've not been there during mosquito season, but the Brijbasis that stay there say, mosquitoes don't come there, still to this day, to not disturb Sanatana Goswami at his bhajan kutir. And that's right near the same place where Sudarshan rested. We're not likely to be so fortunate as Indra to have the pride in our heart removed by Krishna coming before us. And it's not something we should even aspire for because it wasn't very nice. Krishna had made a big time offense. Big, big time offense. Kill all the cows of Vrindavan. And all the Vrijbasis, because they didn't honor me properly. Pride is very hurtful, very destructive. When the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nala Kuvera, were standing naked before Narada, Narada was considering the problem with these two is pride. Because they're the sons of Kuvera. He's opulent. They're his sons. They'll inherit all of his opulence. And he's a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva resides in the garden of Kuvera. And they're very proud of their position. And because pride has entered into their hearts, they become so degraded. And when one becomes proud, one can do any cruel thing to others and feel completely justified because of pride. It's so malicious. It's so difficult to rid the heart from pride. So Narada made some arrangement to relieve Nalakuvera Manigriva of their pride as an instrument of Krishna. But we don't want to become trees. We don't want to put Krishna in a situation where he has to smash our pride. But if Krishna is very kind, he'll do that. But as practicing devotees, one of the important lessons from this wonderful pastime of Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill is to understand how much Krishna doesn't like pride in our hearts. Even the gopis, when Krishna left the rasa dance, there they were dancing with Krishna, and Krishna detected that they were feeling pride. They were proud that here we are. Now we've attained this position. At last, at long last, we're so in this wonderful situation here. Feeling pride, Krishna just left. And they were devastated. But Krishna doesn't like pride in the heart of his devotee. So another one of his opulences, that of detachment or renunciation, Krishna may exhibit. And we don't want that. not in terms of our relationship with Krishna. We want to be able to be closely connected to Krishna, or somehow connected in service to Krishna, but without pride. So, on this day, Govardhan Puja day, we can pray to Krishna like that. Please remove the pride from my heart. Indra is a far more elevated devotee than any of us. Indra makes his mistakes and we make our mistakes. Indra is a very elevated personality. We're on the path of Rupa Goswami to learn to not have other desires. And pride will destroy that aspiration. So very nice meditation, prayerful meditation on Govardhan Puja Day. Hare Krishna. So do we take questions now, or and then do a translation? How do we do this? Huh? For those of you that can understand what I was saying, English-speaking people, you can ask questions, and then afterwards, those that aren't, those questions and answers can be repeated by the translators. So any questions or comments, anyone?
Hare Krishna. The journey of Gopakumar, let's say Brihad Bhagavatamrita, what's it? It's a, like, is it a drama or real? What it is, Maharaj?
A short answer is yes, but it doesn't matter. That's a short answer. In the beginning, I had this discussion with Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. as the translator of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And he is, or at the time of the discussion, very strong on the side that it's literal. It's a commentary, it's a certain type of commentary on Mahabharata. That's what it says at the beginning. Forget the term, Akila or something like that. There's a certain kind of commentary on Mahabharata. And Sanatan, his point is, Sanatan Goswami is not going to create a whole narration that's imaginary and say that it's scriptural. He's not going to do that. So, however, another point of view might be that it's a commentary on the Bhagavatam, and it's a commentary of a creative nature. It reveals the essence of the Bhagavatam through these two narrations, part one and two.
At the end of the journey, Gopakumar, when he reaches Goloka, you said everybody was in the mood of separation. And my doubt is why can't they go with Krishna to the with the cows in the forest when they are feeling separation and they are not able to speak in that condition?
So I'm not sure what your question is. Is that the pinnacle of attainment? Is that your question?
Why
are they having those feelings?
They are feeling the separation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they could join Krishna with the cows in the forest. That is my doubt.
But they have their
duties or something like that.
When one is surrendered to Krishna to the degree that the residents of Vrindavan are surrendered unto Krishna, you, such surrendered souls, they're fully submissive to the influence of the Yogamaya potency. It enhances Krishna's pleasure that he knows his devotees are feeling separation from him, and he's giving his association to relieve them of their feelings of separation. It's all about Krishna's happiness. And if I can do something to bring Krishna's happiness, I'm prepared. That's the mood. So if my feelings of separation enhance Krishna's happiness, I'm prepared. But it's not play acting. It's not cosmetic. It's not external. It's a love. And in that love, the object of love, Krishna, his happiness is my happiness. And so in that happiness of my feelings of separation, Krishna's feeling of separation is also there. And that intensifies his feelings of love. For that purpose, as a player in the Leela of Krishna, I'm feeling separation from Krishna, which intensifies Krishna's feelings of happiness. And then when there's meeting, it explodes. It becomes very blissful. But even in that meeting, there's anticipation of, again, there'll be separation, which intensifies the feeling. And then there's separation, which intensifies the feeling. It's an ever-increasing crescendo of increased intensification of loving feeling. That's rasa. Very sublime science. And it's totally different from the feelings of I'm attached to something and I lose that something and then I feel sad. Prabhupada gives that example. A poor man somehow comes across great fortune and then loses it. And what does that person feel? like that on the spiritual plane. The feelings of separation. It's a metaphor. It's not like that precisely, but as with that kind of intensity, like that.
Spiritual world is free of old age, but old lady telling it's her spiritual body, or is it her spiritual body? Or?
Yes, she has that service.
Okay, that's what.
Some are little boys that are going to the forest. Some are old ladies. Some are old men. Some are trees. Some are birds. Some are flowers. Some are, you know, whatever they're, whatever is for Krishna's pleasure. There's old ladies too. But there's no birth, there's no death, there's no old age, and there's no disease. That's a spiritual form. It doesn't undergo those transformations. There's no birth pastime of Krishna in the spiritual world. But everybody knows Krishna is the son of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. There's no Kamsa, but there's fear of some demons are coming. It's a rasa. Here, there's the demons, and they're coming to get Krishna. And Krishna KOs them. Locks them out. And the cowherd boys, yay, Krishna, you're wonderful. It's Leela. Okay. Thank you all very much. And